ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। चितम् इत्युथा अप्रमेयं बलं तस्या बालकस्यानथे विधु। The assembled gopis and gopas, unaware that Krishna is always unlimited, could not believe that baby Krishna had such inconceivable power. They could not believe the statements of the children, and therefore they neglected these statements as being childish talk. Rudantam sutam adaya yashodagraha sankita krita svatsyayanam vipray suktai stanam apayayat. Thinking that some bad planet had attacked Krishna, Mother Yashoda picked up the crying child and allowed him to suck her breast. Then she called for experienced Brahmins to chant Vedic hymns and perform the auspicious ritualistic ceremony. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Whenever there is some danger or some inauspicious occurrence, it is the custom of Vedic civilization to have qualified Brahmins immediately chant Vedic hymns to counteract it. Mother Yashoda did this properly and allowed the baby to suck her breast. Purvavat stapitam gopayar Bali bhisa parichchadam vipra hutvachayam chakrur dadyakshata kusam bhubi. After the strong, stout cowherd men assembled the pots and paraphernalia on the handcart and set it up as before, the Brahmins performed a ritualistic ceremony with a fire sacrifice to appease the bad planet. And then with rice, grains, kusha, water, and curd, they worshiped the Supreme Lord. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The hand cart was loaded with heavy utensils and other paraphernalia. To set the cart back in its original position required much strength, but this was easily done by the cowherd men. Then, according to the system of the Gopajati, various ceremonies were performed to appease the calamitous situation. Of Krishna's glorious deliverance of the ghostly demon Shakatasura. How various asuras appeared in the land of Vrindavan. Shakatasura appeared in a most harmless form as a cart, as a not a modern day device with a motor and an engine, but a simple hand-pulled cart, not filled with weapons or explosives, but just filled with ordinary household utensils such as pots and pans, spoons. In this way, he appeared most harmless, absolutely in a harmless looking ordinary form. But behind this was the deception of a very, very great demon. When a devotee, or when anyone, is caught off guard when he is not expecting danger, he is most vulnerable to be harmed. And therefore, the Shastras and the great saints have warned us again and again and again through their words. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. That this world is a place of danger at every step. We should never think anything to be ordinary, all right, or safe. Maya is everywhere, and her potencies to delude us, to divert our attention away from Krishna's service, are in the most gross and subtle forms all pervasive in this material existence. And if a devotee is not very careful and very aware, then such a devotee will undoubtedly fall under the influence of Maya without even knowing it. How thorough and careful Maya is conducting her affairs in this world, we cannot understand. We'll never understand. But we can understand the principle that she is everywhere, and the shelter of Krishna is absolutely essential every place and at every moment. Queen Kunti, she prayed that terrible calamities may continue to fall upon her. Because then it was easy to see the dangers of the world. And it was quite apparent how much she was requiring to utterly helplessly take shelter of Krishna and call out his name. But when everything is very nice, everything is very good, it appears that there's no danger. But actually, danger is everywhere. And when we're unprepared, when we're not seeking shelter, then we are vulnerable to be deluded, to be diverted from the path of bhakti. So the most foolish person is the person who says, everything is all right, I'm doing very well, and everything is just so nice, and there's no problem. I'm very Krishna conscious. If a person thinks like that, then he's right under the card of Sakatasura. He's ready to fall upon him. The most harmless looking, ordinary part of our life. So therefore, padam padam yadvi padam natesham, take it literally. It's not a figurative, symbolic statement. There is danger at every step, whatever situation you're in. And when you know there's danger, you're safer, you're more protected than if you think everything is all right. Because everyone knows, in warfare, if you can catch the enemy off guard, you can defeat them. It's like enemies throughout history have always done like this. They always just try to find the particular time when their opponents will be most off guard. Then they will strike. The Second World War. Pearl Harbor Day. That was at everybody, just the least expected moment. They bombed. And actually they were successful. The Japanese literally destroyed 100% of the entire U.S. Navy. There was nothing left in one day. Because the whole Navy was in one place at their central base. And they bombed it. Nobody had any expectation. They were all sleeping. And in couple decades ago in Israel, Yom Kippur, it's the high holy day when everyone must fast. So when everyone was fasting and in the temples worshiping, at that time massive armies came and attacked to take over. So in this way, in warfare, if you know the vulnerability, then you can defeat. And when are you most vulnerable? When you're not expecting it. It's like in Mahabharata, what was that great warrior's name? Kichak, the son of one great king. He was trying to seduce Draupadi, and Bhima, he became very angry. So Bhima was not only powerful, but he was also very intelligent, because this Kichak was very undefeatable, very strong. So Bhima decided, I will get him at his weakest point. So he disguised himself as Draupadi and went into the room at night. And Kichak, he was completely not thinking at all about fighting. He was thinking about enjoying sex life. And sex desire completely weakens a person. He was completely weakened, completely just like in a helpless condition, begging this woman for some enjoyment. And in that state, Bhima just easily pulverized him. So if a person is off guard, a person is very vulnerable. So Maya is everywhere. She's all pervasive. And her constant meditation in the service of Krishna is to test the devotee and to delude the materialist. And therefore, it is Krishna's mercy when he keeps the devotee in a situation where he never thinks everything is all right. Where he always knows that there is danger and Krishna must be. Of course, does this mean a devotee should be just walking around in complete fear every day? The materialistic people, they are like rabbits. The lion is about to devour them, and their defense mechanism is to keep their eyes closed. If they don't see it, they don't have to worry about it. So in this way, the so-called fearlessness and peace of mind of a materialistic person is just that he's blinding his eyes. He's not willing to see the reality around him. He puts himself in a dream world, in a hallucination. It creates a massive hallucination all around him. But in reality, he has no protection. So does that mean a devotee should always be fearful? Vaja Hudremana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. A devotee should be, in his fear of Maya, always running to Krishna. Because in the lotus feet of Krishna, you become fearless. So we should have fear of Maya. And that fear of Maya brings complete fearlessness into our life. A pure devotee is so much immersed in Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna. Just the thought of forgetting Krishna is more fearful than death. So this fear is very healthy. In this fear is fearlessness. Where there is no fear of Maya, there is complete illusion. And how much Maya is just ready to steal Krishna away from us, ready to kill our Krishna consciousness. So this demon, Shakatasura, his motive was to kill Krishna. He was a demon. So similarly, the demonic influences of this world are always trying to kill Krishna within our heart, which means kill our remembrance of Krishna, kill our dependence of Krishna. As soon as Krishna is killed, we're finished spiritually. or completely under the control, the captivity of the enemy. And sometimes the demons appeared in Vrindavan as very, very big, big asuras. When Aristasura came charging in, there was no question whether he was a nice person or not. Everyone knew he was really a demon. He was causing earthquakes and everything. He was a massive monster. Putana appeared like a motherly lady. She was very attractive. But Sakatasura, he appeared in such a way that was just absolutely the most insignificant thing possible that nobody would ever think of. On the streets of Vrindavan, there's so many houses, so many carts. Didn't stand out. Putana stood out as something very beautiful. Aristasura, Kaliya, Denukasura, they stood out because of their prowess and greatness. They created great fear. But Sakatasura, very dangerous demon, because he just looked, in this room, how many chairs, how many benches, how many fans? Are we afraid of any of these things? Do we even think about any of these things? This cart was no more significant than the bench that Krishna Kumar is so casually leaning on. We have to, by hearing and by good association, we must never put our trust in this illusory energy. We must always understand the need of strictly surrendering to Krishna. And that is why it is very important to have a very disciplined, strict life. To keep that determination alive in our hearts. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us, if you simply, strictly and attentively chant 16 rounds every day, if you carefully follow the four regulative principles, if you carefully attend Mangal Arati every day, if you carefully hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, Bhagavad Gita every day, if you carefully engage your mind in devotional activities, then Maya, with all her illusions and tricks, you will be protected, because you will be aware. You'll be very aware. But of course, you have to be humble, because as soon as pride enters into your heart, you're no longer aware. We were speaking the other night about Vasudev. Vasudev was he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he had terrible infliction of leprosy upon his skin. You know what a terrible disease leprosy is? It was in its most advanced stages. It was at such an advanced stage that from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, all his flesh was so diseased that it was rotting away. It was just rotten. It smelled like a corpse. It was emitting terrible odors. There was pus, there was blood, and there was lakhs and lakhs of worms eating his flesh away at every part of his body. And there was no cure. What would you doctors think about this? You're a skin specialist. What would you think about this? What can you do for such a person? But he was such a devotee that when one of the worms would fall from his body, instead of stepping on it, thinking, one less worm, he would carefully pick it up and place it back, thinking, this body is not mine, this body is Krishna's, and he has given it as a home for my soul to live, but he's also given it as a home for this worm to live. So let him enjoy. As he's eating away his flesh, let him enjoy. This was his compassion. He never complained. He never said, oh, why is this happening to me? I'm a devotee. Why is Krishna doing like this? You know how much he suffered? You cannot imagine. Not only, please understand, was there the infliction of terrible, terrible physical pain, but what about the pain of the ego? Such a person who has such an advanced stage of leprosy is rejected by family members, rejected by all friends, rejected by all society. Nobody wants anything to do with him. People just think he's a disturbance. They don't want to go near him. They don't want to smell him. They don't want to touch him. They don't want to see him. He was absolutely grotesque from the material point of view in every level. So he was completely abandoned by all his loved ones, all his friends, and all the society. What type of pain would that cause your ego if you were in that situation? This was his dilemma. And obviously such a person, he has no money. We're so worried, what if I do not have a lot of money tomorrow? What will I do? He had no money. He had no hope for ever having any money. He was completely outcasted by all loved ones, friends, and society, and he was suffering the most terrible, excruciating pain. But as far as he was concerned, everything was just fine. Because in that situation, he was always remembering Krishna. And when he heard that Lord Chaitanya was in Kuramakshetra, he was very much anxious to have darshan of the Lord. So he went to Kuramakshetra. But when he arrived at the Brahmin's house, Mahaprabhu had already left some time before. And then Vasudev, when he heard this, it was like a deathly blow. He fell unconscious that he had missed the chance to have the darshan of the Supreme Lord and to serve his lotus feet. He was never in pain or anxiety. He was never the slightest bit disturbed by his physical pains, by his social outcast condition. He was never disturbed in the slightest by any of these things. But he was terribly disturbed when he missed the opportunity to serve the Lord. What was his priority in life? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing such devotion of such a devotee who actually fell unconscious, so disturbed and pained his heart was that he missed the chance to offer this service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to that place. And what did he do when he came back? Mahaprabhu embraced Vasudev. And when he embraced him, he cured the whole disease. He became beautiful. His body had a golden effulgence. All the disease was absolutely removed. He had a young, strong, healthy, handsome, effulgent body. Now let me ask you, doctors, that if you had a patient who was so miraculously cured, what would be his response? What do you say? Would he be happy? Would he be grateful? Vasudev was not. Vasudev was terribly disturbed that he was cured. There was no anxiety in his heart when he was suffering the disease. When there was no anxiety or disturbance in his heart when he was just suffering unbearable pain and disgrace. But when he was cured, there was great anxiety in his heart. Why? Because he was thinking that in that situation I was in, I was so humble. There was nothing for me to be proud of. And therefore, it was very natural for me to always be calling out in desperation the holy name. But now I've achieved special mercy from the Lord. Everyone who sees me is going to know that the Lord had performed a miracle just for me. Now I have a handsome body, a beautiful body, an effulgent demigod-like body. now what will keep me from being proud? And as soon as pride enters my heart, any of my service, any of my chanting of the holy names, it has no meaning to you, my Lord. My life is to please you. This is a great obstacle to my pleasing you. Therefore, now I am afraid. Now I am disturbed. Please tell me, my Lord, how can I be in this situation and free from pride? And Mahaprabhu told him, always chant the holy names. Associate with devotees. Whoever you meet, you instruct them in the science of Krishna. If you just follow this instruction on my order, you will never become proud. Your service desire will never become less. And then Mahaprabhu left. So this is a beautiful story, which shows the priority and the determination of a true devotee of the Lord. Only one thing in his life is disturbing. Not having that humble service attitude. To lose that, to lose the opportunity to serve the Lord and to please the Lord, is the only anxiety in the heart of a devotee. Whatever the physical, mental, or material conditions of life, a devotee takes every situation as an opportunity to further his service. So in this sense, Vasudev taught us that the most dangerous times in life is when everything appears very nice, very normal. Huh? Because then we're off guard. And when we're off guard, lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, they so easily come into our life. Because if we're not calling out for Krishna, these things must come into our life. There's Krishna and there's Maya. If you're not surrendering to Krishna, Maya is going to take over. Any moment you're not calling out for Krishna, Maya is there. So Shakatasura is such a demon that we must be very careful of. We must be very careful of. Rupa Goswami warns us that a devotee must be very conscientious and very attentive in even the most ordinary activities in devotional service. Never to become routine. To be routine is to become lethargic, that just to become mechanical, automatic. This is the time I do this. This is the time I do this. Whatever we do, sadhana must be mixed with bhavana, must be mixed with feeling, must be mixed with consciousness of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and who I'm doing it for. What is the purpose? Whether we're sweeping the floor, whether we're listening to class, whether we're doing our work outside as a doctor or a stock consultant, or a temple president, or Food for Life, or a lawyer, or a proprietor of children's orphanage, book distributor, pujari, whatever we do, we must do it with consciousness, with a feeling, the feeling that I am doing this as the servant of the servant to please Krishna, to please Guru, to please the Vaishnavas. How can I do it better? How could I do it with more awareness, with more consciousness? It's very essential. Otherwise, the demon Shakatasura is right there to fall on your head, completely divert you, to kill the Krishna in your heart. Really, what does death mean? Death means forgetfulness. There's no such thing as death. Na jayate mriyate vakadachin. The soul is eternal. Death means, from the point of view of Krishna consciousness, it means forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is death and remembrance is life. So the demoniac influences of this world are appearing in so many wonderful ways. You see, when the demons come, like I was explaining, when they come, like Keshi demon, they reap so much fear in our heart that we think,
I don't want to be a devotee. I don't want to be on Krishna's side, because these are the demons that come to get you if you're on Krishna's side. Better I take the side of the demon. Then I will. Then he will protect me. Huh? So that's how Maya tricks us through them. Shakatasura, we're on Krishna's side. Everything is nice. Everything is ordinary. Everything is routine. Through all these situations, the demoniac forces are trying to get us to forget Krishna. And when we forget Krishna, spiritually, we are dead. When we remember Krishna, we are full of life. Huh? So Krishna was laying under this demon, Shakatasura. But Krishna knew what is this demon. He knows everything. And how wonderful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the difference between the Krishna avatar and other avatars. When Vamanadeva wanted to take the universe from Bali, he expanded his legs to be so big that they extended to cover the whole universe in two steps. Huh? Vamanadeva, who was just a little dwarf, assumed such a gigantic size. And when Lord Narayan wanted to kill Hiranyakashipu, he assumed an enormous, immense form of Narahari, tore the demon Hiranyakashipu to pieces. In various incarnations, the Lord has appeared in so many ways to conquer powerful demons. But Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. He is most perfect and complete. He did not have to change himself in any way. He was just a little baby. He didn't even have to extend his leg with his foot, which is so soft and lotus-like. It is explained his foot was like soft leaves. So tender. Baby. You know what a baby's foot? You can imagine Krishna's baby foot. How soft, how pleasing. And he didn't make it like, oh, I want to kill this demon, but rather he was like a baby. He was in anxiety because he wanted the milk from his mother. Mother Jashoda, during the Uttana festival, there were so many guests, she thought, my baby is tired. She placed him under this cart. Oh, why under the cart? Because she thought it was the most protected place for him. Because under a cart means nobody's going to step on him. The shade from the sun. Huh? What she considered to be the most protective place was the most dangerous place. We have to be ready, beware. That is how Maya works. That's how the demons work. Gain your confidence and then kill you, exploit you. That's how the whole advertising agency. Gain the person's confidence, make them feel very comfortable and protected with their product, then exploit them. Huh? So Mother Yashoda was thinking, this is the most safe, protective place. I will put Krishna there. And Krishna was thinking, my mother has put me here, but I want milk from her body. I need her milk. I'm longing for her milk. Of course, the milk of Mother Yashoda is her love. It's the expression of her love for Gopal to give her milk. Her milk is the personification of the purest, most intensified loving affection in Vatsalya Rasa. So he was longing for that ras. He was not longing for the milk itself, but he was longing for the ras in which she would offer the milk, that love. And he would taste the love in every drop. Just when you offer bhoga to Sri Radha Gopinath, he is longing to taste the love of his devotees. when you are making nice khichoris or nice ladus, it is not that we need to offer only, but if Krishna is longing to eat those things, he's waiting anxiously. Prabhupada said offerings must be very punctual and on time, because Krishna's time says, time I am. So you don't think he knows what time it is? Krishna does not have to watch the clock. He is the source of the time of the clock. And he knows exactly what second he's supposed to get his offering. And my God, he's just anxiously just longing for the nice offering of, to taste the love of his devotees. And if we keep him waiting, it's very offensive, very disrespectful, very impolite. Therefore, according to Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada, they taught us deity worship, not just completely spontaneous. There must be feeling, but part of that feeling is Krishna's waiting, and he's expecting it at this particular time, and I must be on time, and it must be nice. Everything he's expected must be there at the time he's expecting. That is proper deity worship. Prabhupada said, opulence in deity worship is in cleanliness and punctuality. Without that, however grand and beautiful, it's not very pleasing to Krishna. Cleanliness and punctuality are the two most essential principles in worshiping the deity. So Krishna's waiting for that food. In the same way, Krishna was waiting to drink the love of Mother Yashoda. And she was late. She was late. So with his beautiful little lotus foot, he just kicked. Didn't extend it like Vamanadeva. He just kicked the wheel, which was right next to him. And such a big, strong wooden cart. When he kicked that wheel, it just fell down, crashed. Both wheels broke off their axles. The whole cart fell down to the ground, broke in so many pieces, all the pots, pans, and other paraphernalia just became scattered everywhere. And this ghost, Sankatasura, was a ghost who appeared in the form of that cart to try to haunt. He was completely fell to the ground and defeated. But the residents of Vrindavan, how Krishna keeps them always in yoga maya. To protect that Vatsalya Ras. He can kill the demons, but at the same time keep everyone under the spiritual illusion that he is only our loving child. So Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and the other gopas, gopis, they were very much disturbed by all this. How is it possible? How this big strong cart has just fallen to pieces in every way? How is it that it fell right over our head of our Gopal and he has not even been touched by anything? It was not possible. So the little children said, we saw what happened. Krishna, with his foot, he kicked the wheel and everything fell. And the parents said, not possible. Children, they always talk all nonsense. It's not possible. They were thinking maybe some bad planet. Actually, some of our devotees are very much attached to this astrology and everything. Maybe they're gopis. They were thinking maybe some bad planet is presiding now, and that's what caused this great danger to our child. So they called all Brahmins to perform all Vedic rituals and everything to somehow or other neutralize the effects of these bad planets. Now this is all Krishna's lila, and how beautiful and sweet it is, and how enjoyable to see how the residents of Vrindavan, they were making so much fuss, so much concern, going through so much efforts to protect Krishna in this way. It's very sweet and pleasing to hear. Mother Yashoda. How we will read going on after Trinavarta. So after these demons would come, she would just perform all these different little rituals to protect her child. Because after all, you have to express your love some way. And really, in this, it may seem, what is all this, Mother Yashoda? Why are you calling all these Brahmins and having all these Vedic fire sacrifices and putting cow dung on different parts of his body and putting saliva in his eyes and all these? What is all this? It's all rituals. But it's not all rituals. It's a ways and a means that she can show, express her love for Krishna. And this is actually the purpose of all ritual. Sometimes we see ritual looks very foolish, but really it's not foolish if it is a physical means of expressing your love for Krishna. That's the essence of ritual. But without that bhavana, without that feeling, then rituals are absolutely useless. It might not be a feeling of love, but there must at least be the feeling that I want to please, I want to become purified, I want to serve Gurudev, I want to show somehow, according to my capacity, my desire to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to become purified. And if that is our consciousness, then factually these rituals are gloriously accepted by Krishna. So the residents of Vrindavan, they were performing all these very, very exotic rituals, and Krishna was very happy to watch all this. He was just watching, very pleased, very nice. They are doing all this just for me. Superstitious as they are, it's all for me. That is Vrindavan. Is there any questions? Yes? At least. How do you know at least? How do you know at least? You may not have one day to live. This is an illusion. What? No, what is normal in this material world? Normal is your relative perception. Everyone who dies today is thinking that it will be normal for me to live at least 30 to 40 more years. Go on, I'm sorry.
What I'm going to ask you, Maharaj, is that between 30 years or whatever, the slightest moment if you lose the contact of Krishna with your father, the completely of that track, one second on the road, again, you do not know what will be your condition. So how to see that this 30 years or whatever, such a long span of time, we don't lose our determination, we don't lose our enthusiasm for the slightest moment, and just go.
You are, in order to continue to be completely pure, first you have to become completely pure. That is our problem. Impurity means we forget Krishna and we remember sense gratification. And that is what impurity means. Sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. So we have to strive according to our capacity, in whatever position of purification we may be in, we have to strive very carefully to avoid
sense gratification, and aspire for devotional service. In essence, the shastras explain that you should grab on to the lotus feet of Guru and the great sadhus, and you should just not let go. They are our only hope, right? We have to cling to their lotus feet and not let go. We should know it is like if you're in a helicopter and you're hanging from a rope and you're way up in the sky. If you let go of that rope for even a second, what happens? Will you let go? Will you forget about the rope? If you forget about the rope, you'll let go. The lotus feet of Gurudev, which means the instructions of Gurudev, it is like the rope. And we should hold on to that rope with the same sense of urgency as we would hold on in that situation I just explained. Knowing that if I let go, God knows where I will go. So we have to simply endeavor in this consciousness. And Krishna will protect us. Krishna says in Gita,